Good morning, everyone. This morning, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed that the swine flu has claimed the first life in the United States, a 23-month-old child in Texas. Moments ago, President Obama referred to the news that the CDC announced.
Overnight, we also received confirmation that an infant in Texas has died as a result of this virus. And my thoughts and prayers and deepest condolences go out to the family, as well as those who are ill and recovering from this flu. This is obviously a serious situation, serious enough to take the utmost precautions.
Infant or toddler, we don't know a lot of details about this fatality, and we don't even know if this was an American 23-month-old or someone visiting the United States from outside of the border. In Mexico, the numbers are moving around a little bit. 159 suspected deaths, up from 152, but only 7 of those are definitely linked to swine flu at this point. Meanwhile, in the U.S., there are 66 confirmed cases. Most of them are mild. We go now to a familiar voice on this subject, and what we've been following all week long is Dr. Richard Wenzel, Virginia Commonwealth University Chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine and an expert on all things epidemiological. Dr. Wenzel, thanks for coming back to the program.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
So the announcement from the CDC, this fatality, 23-month-old in Texas, what do people like you do to either spring into action, or I guess this was expected on some level, but nevertheless, there is a suggestion of what to do now?
Well, I think I need to put it in perspective. Remember, each year in the United States, we have annual visitations of flu. We trivialize it, and the mortality still is 1 in 1,000, 0.1%. And that translates to 36,000 cases a year of deaths in the United States, 36,000 deaths a year. So if this baby died in January, still be as tragic a loss. But we probably wouldn't make it newsworthy if we're part of the annual visitations. Again, perspective, if we could look back to the pandemics of Asian flu in 57, Hong Kong in 68, here the mortality was 0.5% instead of 1 in 1,000, 5 in 1,000. So again, we don't know where to put this current epidemic in perspectives, but it's not surprising just based on our every year flu.
So let's talk about this. You mentioned the detail there that this child died in January?
No, I said if this were a death in January.
I see.
Normal
flu season. Okay, great. All right.
It's still tragic, but it wouldn't make the headlines.
Got it. No, I absolutely understood. So with that 36,000 number, which is the normal seasonal death, would we expect those individuals to be normally vulnerable to any sort of health emergency and the flu takes them down because it pushes them over the edge? How do we distinguish what's going on here with these seasonal phenomena that we don't pay much attention to?
Well, in our usual visitations with flu, it's primarily the people over age 65 with underlying heart and lung disease and newborns, in a sense, you know, up to a year age. So, again, a 26-month-old should be relatively healthy. I knew nothing about the baby's underlying disease before this incident, so it's pure speculation as to what happened. But with the usual pandemics, you get younger age groups who are healthy adults, is what's going on now in a number of countries around the world. And so even healthy people can get infected.
So you've got fear and you've got a certain mythology working together. Let me throw this detail at you, Dr. Wenzel. The Egyptian government has announced, according to the Associated Press, that it's going to slaughter all pigs in the country because of swine flu. Now, of course, under Islamic food law, pigs are, you know, said to be unclean. So there are a couple of factors at work here. What do you make of a nation taking that sort of step?
Well, it seems extreme. I mean, we're not talking about most of these cases coming from pig to persons anymore. What happened is the original case came from a pig to a person, and that virus happened to be adapted to humans in such a way that now we have person-to-person transmission. So we're not getting repeated pig-to-people transmission. We're getting person-to-person transmission of an original pig virus.
And it is more correct to call the virus the H1N1 virus, correct?
That's correct.
And that's because it contains DNA from pig flu, avian flu, and human-related flu. So I heard this morning that it's not even clear that this virus makes pigs sick, even though it might be actually a parasite inside a pig?
Well, a lot of pigs are susceptible to the swine flu viruses every year. And if you did antibody studies, took their blood, you would find a substantial portion of pigs with antibodies, meaning they had past exposure. And they seem to manage that very well.
All right. Based on the news that we have today, is there any reason to do anything differently today if you're following this closely and listening to this program than you did yesterday or Monday when this news really sort of hit the headlines? Doctor?
I don't think so. I think, again, very tragic loss. I can't imagine that happening in our family. But, again, to put it in perspective with the annual flu, again, we can expect some deaths. We don't know what to do if it's one death out of 66 patients in the United States or one with several, with 100 or so globally, too early. But just based on our annual visitations, unfortunately not surprising, and we still have to be vigilant.
Well, we're certainly going to be vigilant, and with your help, we'll be able to sort out the information we receive over the next few days. Dr. Richard Wenzel is Virginia Commonwealth University Chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine, helping us to sort through the numbers. He joined us from Richmond, Virginia. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
And now more headlines from Femi Okeh.
Thanks very much, John. The time is 28 minutes past the hour.